Already?
Yeah.
Starting it off. What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Junior.
Sonny Brasco in the building.
Man, look, two fathers just here getting together to talk about this fatherhood, this life, this being a man, just living day in and day out, stories from both of our backgrounds where, you know, me and my wife, we have twins, been married 3 years now. It's just like,
yeah, man, time be flying. We got this podcast. We gonna call it the Fatherhood Project. Reason why I came up with that name, because we just were both a work in progress when it comes to this fatherhood thing. Me, absolutely, myself, married, going on, it'll be 8 years next year with four kids. 10, 6, 5, and 10 months. That's 6 and 5. I don't know what I was thinking, for real, but I'm blessed no matter what. Now, when it come to all that, like, you know, first and foremost, we going to shout out Calvet, because this was definitely his vision when it come to this. I'm just an add-on, so I appreciate you off the bat.
You already know, man.
Off the break.
You already know.
For even putting me on. But, like, what made you even want to do this to begin with, for real?
Like I told you before, when we had our conversations, I felt like we got something we could talk about. And on top of that, like, just, you know, the relationship and the bond from Morgan. We both went to Morgan.
Yeah, already.
And it's just that bond there. And then with our wives being line sisters and so forth, it was just like, yo, it's only right, you know, do this with my man, Sonny, we make this happen.
Yeah, man, I definitely appreciate that. I know you had to converse with the wife to get approval, so shout out to your wife on that. Shit, I had to do the same thing with mine, so shout out Kiana. I ain't even going to embarrass you in the first 5 minutes, but we got a long way to go, though, for real. So, yeah. I mean, yo, like, we've known each other literally going on, 17
years now? Yeah.
So basically half our lives we've known each other, you know, just starting out as, you know, kids on the bridge at Morgan. Now we already know, if you've been to Morgan, you already know the original bridge, you already know what that is. That was like the corner for us, man. That was your fashion show.
That was everything.
That was where you taught your sports. You know.
Definitely somebody rhyming.
Oh, somebody getting clowned because their outfit was trash.
Somebody breaking their neck on a cobblestone.
Oh, man. Yeah. Shout out to y'all ladies that felt the need to wear heels at 8 o'clock in the morning walking on cobblestones. We salute y'all for doing that.
The fashion show, bro.
It was definitely a fashion show. Monday, Wednesday, Friday at noon. Boy. You wasn't at the bridge, my nigga. That was something crazy. Yeah. I mean, but like we mentioned earlier, I got four kids. My kids' names is Morgan. She's
right.
10. They're only right? Reed, 6. Hannah, 5. Josiah, 10 months. Shit. When I first had Morgan, I was like 24, 25, finding out that I was that my lady was pregnant at the time, nigga. that shit was wild doing that, because, I mean, none of my friends had kids for real. So when
the first,
yeah, well,
first out of few,
first, yeah. I was
somebody who got you beforehand.
Yeah, it definitely was, but it was like just for it to be me. They was like, yo, what the fuck, Sonny? You first question they asked was it mine? Like, living in today's society, like, you think that's an ignorant-ass question, but
you gotta ask that question.
You know what I'm saying? So I remember, you know, my wife coming to me, and she told me to look at her. She asked me, did she look bigger or whatever? And I'm like, I mean, yo, we just went out to eat or whatever, so, I mean, you probably got a food baby or something. Like, I don't think nothing.
Food baby.
Yeah, food baby. Yo, that, them Golden Corral meals and shit, boy. And I used to try, you know, play it smooth, would be cheap at the same time. So we get there after that church crowd. You still had your breakfast out there, breakfast, lunch, chill out, get your dinner and dessert. You done 14 hours? You can't beat that shit, man.
Nah, not at all.
I learned from Julius, from Everybody Hates Chris, on these financial tips that it may not work for everybody, but it worked for this situation. So, you know, she laughed it off, and then a couple of days later, she came to me and was like, yo, look at my feet, this, that, and the fourth. I'm like, man, me being ignorant, you know what I mean? But me joking, but joking at the wrong time. I hit her with the, you know, you probably got diabetes for real. You might want to go to the guy to get it checked out. So first, her response is, man, yo, fuck you, sonny. Like, off the break, I felt like I already lost her. Like, I was counting the hours done, before.
Bro. It was done. The moment
you know what I'm saying? Oh, man. I know for sure that there is a God because I don't know how I survived any of that to begin with. But then, you know, I remember she came to my house. She had a yellow top on, and she, you know, I asked her how everything was going, how the doctor going. She told me she was pregnant. And I was just like, damn. Mm. It was like if I was typing on Word document, it'd be nothing but green lines because it was no complete sentence whatsoever. Like, that was just like that. I didn't even know what to say. Like, shit. Mm. But from that, it went to, you know, the conversation. Like, so what you gonna do for real? Like, we already know what that is. That's cold. That's cold for, like, you gonna keep this or nah? And, I mean, a part of me, my ego got the best of me because at first I was upset because I wasn't even the first one to know about it. So I'm thinking, like, yo, if I'm the one that got you pregnant, why I got to be 6th, 7th in line? Like, why is she telling all your line sisters first before coming to me about the shit? We ain't making no...
The baby shower set up.
Exactly. They know. They made the decision for me already. But I started the baby shower shit. But no, she said, I mean, we could go the butcher route if you want. But, I mean, if we going to be in this together...
Not the butcher route,
right? That shit is wild. But, I mean, when you 24, 25, you still living with our parents and all that shit, you contemplate them type of things. But what she said, it was so profound. Like, I had to gain another level of respect for her when she was like, yo, yeah, we could do that, but if we in this together... And let's say I get pregnant again. What's the difference between this baby and the next kid? You know what I'm saying? Because through all of this, we both believe that God is in our foundation. We know where help come from. So, I mean, I like your odds against any man. Mm-hmm. But God is undefeated. So why would you even test him on that type of level? We gonna be okay. So when she said that, it was kind of like, well, I feel like God was speaking to me through her and told me, like, yo, I mean, you gotta step up. And my father, he basically summed it up. He was like, son, if you play the piano enough times, you gonna make a hit. But you make sure you make that hit a masterpiece though.
Don't waste that masterpiece.
Right. So, you know, get your Mona Lisa on or Vincent Van Gogh, whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? Yeah, now I got Picasso in my house. Got 4 Picassos in my house and shit. Good Lord.
That's a lot of money. But yeah, man. It's a lot of money going both ways at that.
Right. But you double dipped the chip, though, son. Like, you know, bruh.
God willing, man. God willing.
You already?
We got two beautiful twins. Two beautiful children who are twins. Nehemiah, my baby boy, Genesis, baby girl. And, you know, me and my wife's out here, listen, we pray for these kids.
That's respect right
finally
there.
Finally here. And, you know, you'll find out more in later episodes of the backstory on that. But basically, we are blessed with those two beautiful babies that we pray for. And, you know, I can't trade it for the world, you know. They 17 months right now, and it's a joy, but it's a lot.
Oh, two at the same time. Yeah, man, you doubled. Like I said, you doubled.
I don't know how anybody with two or more kids do it.
I mean, to be real,
I don't know how y'all do it.
Time management it's got to be at its premium, but because kids be running this shit.
Man, listen.
They be running it. Like, especially now, I got the 10-month-old. He crawling all crazy, so it's like, I can't even, I gotta put them down on the floor, but I gotta make sure all the sockets is plugged up. Gotta make sure.
Your life ain't yours when they come in the
hell place. No, not at all, no.
Cause look, the sleep patterns.
Oh, that
in
shit.
In our bed at night, it's like, come on.
You get sleep, yo?
Man, I don't know if I wanna call it sleep. It might be.
Ooh, like a nap or something?
A nap. I'm always on alert because it's like a baby smack in the face, a foot of girl.
Yeah, somebody start crying. My kids. Like my daughter Hannah, yo, she's like a fucking ninja when it come to getting into our bed, son. Because I be gutted, and I turn over, you know what I'm saying? and I hear somebody crying because I done messed around and palm slapped the shit out of my kids, son. Like, she got the whole baptism kit right then and there for real. And I'm just like, yo, how did you even get in here? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
They open doors now.
Yeah, because you can't lock them.
No, too young.
So, man, it's just like, damn. Any
advice for 17-month-olds opening doors, please email us.
Yo, man, oh, man. But, yeah, man, but then with the other kids, like, you know, my kid Reed, and, you know, I'm proud of him, you know what I mean, because before him, I was the last man in my family. So, to have him and now Josiah, now I feel a little more comfortable, but the world that we living in, though, I'm scared as shit for these kids, dog.
Listen, man, I don't know, the police, Trump, the Area 51 nonsense they got going on. Like, I don't know.
It's a trifecta, boy. It's a
lot of craziness, but yeah, it's, you know, how you feel about Trump? Matter of fact.
Yo, I think that the boy Trump is how Dennis Green said, yo, he was what we thought he was, and we let him off the hook.
Straight off.
Let him straight off the hook. Like, what he's doing is not surprising no more, to the point where you become immune to it, like you numb to it, but it's just so blatantly wrong. Like what the fuck? Because, I mean, think about it. If Obama did 1/10 of this shit, he'd have been assassinated by now. Listen, like, it wouldn't even have been an impeachment. Y'all would have got murked.
You know, at first for me, it's like, all right, it's Trump. It don't surprise me.
Right.
But then it's like, attack against women. And now ain't the time.
It ain't never been the time. But right now, 2019, come on, yo.
But then on top of it, it's black women, too. It's women.
Bruh, but that's how you know this whole wall protection and all that shit, that ain't had shit to do with people coming in here legally. They don't want us here to begin with.
Got it.
Yo, they talking about, like, yo, you know, like I said, like, what's it, Senator Omar, he doing his rally, and they telling her send her back. Well, where the fuck she going? She a citizen longer than Trump wife, for real. So we going to send Trump wife back, too?
Listen, fuck out of here with that bullshit, yo.
That shit is nutty. That's how you know this shit was never about immigrants getting in here illegally. They just don't want us here to begin with. But it's just so crazy that when people do their homework and they realize that Christopher Columbus ain't discovered shit.
That's why.
You know what I'm saying?
What they call it now? Indigenous Peoples Day?
That's what I'm saying. The only Christopher we acknowledge.
People's Day.
The only Christopher we acknowledge is Wallace, my nigga, and that's for a reason. Like, come on, man. Cut that bullshit out, yo. Man. We know good and damn well, but
listen, I appreciated the day off in school. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's about it.
Outside of that, I ain't celebrated.
We ain't celebrating shit. This is like, you ain't really celebrating July 4th for real, but the cookouts be lit.
Definitely do.
Cookouts be lit, though. So, man, I ain't going to turn out no plate. I mean,
not a damn plate.
I mean, if you're offering, you know what I mean? Hell yeah, I'm going to take that shit.
Send all invites in for any 4th of July.
You already. Come on, man. We in there. But, yeah, yo, we definitely got to protect our women, man. Like, not even women, our daughters that's going to become women. Like, we got to show them the way of how it need to be done. Of course, we're going to make mistakes. Because right now, I'm dealing with... I'm trying to handle my emotions better. My oldest daughter, Morgan, she's 10 now. She's not causing me no problems or no back talk or nothing like that. Mm. But sometimes she's not doing that. She's like the ultimate, like, chill kid. But sometimes
she testing.
Sometimes she testing in a way where it's just like, come on, yo, I know you smarter than that. You know what I mean? Like, case in point, like, my wife could ask her a question and she'll look at her like with this blank stare. As if she's not, like, she ignoring her.
But is she like, staring her down, trying to figure it out?
I don't know.
I hear what you're saying, but I ain't paying you.
See, I don't know. But that's why I jump quick to the, I'm quick with it. Like, yo, I tell all the break, like, Morgan, what the fuck is you doing? Yo, like, yo, you hear your mama talking and shit. And, you know, Kiana get mad at me for saying that because then now my daughter all startled and all that. But she could be just figuring out.
That's, you know, what I'm saying? Her thought process.
That could be a thought process. Yeah. But me coming from the era that I came from, somebody asked you a question and you just blank stare.
Snap back.
Man, your whole face got ripped off. So, I mean, so that's some of the things as a dad I got to work on. Because I don't want to put that fear in my daughters, you know, or my sons. You know what I mean? I want them to be able to come to me with whatever. You know what I mean? I definitely want them to respect me and my wife and everything like that. But that's something that I definitely need to work on. Because I'm the same way with all my kids. I ain't saying Morgan get it the worst. I mean, she the oldest, so she the first one to get it.
Yep.
But Reed, Hannah, JoJo, all of them going to get it the same way. Reed getting it too because he getting, I mean, like he had his issues as far as communication. Goal, but since, you know, with speech therapy and all that, he getting better. So now he kind of getting not necessarily smart with the lip, but he asking questions where it's kind of like, boy, you know, we come from, you don't ask no questions.
No.
Your mama, father say something, you do that shit. That's ain't it. No question.
In the story. You know what's crazy now that you mentioned that? I'm just thinking about, like, so we got these two high chairs. One we keep, you know, one child and the other. But Genesis keeps standing up no matter what.
Jeez.
And we be like, sit down. And she'll just give us this look. And it's like, I want to cry, but I'm smiling at you because I want you to come tell me do it again. And we would do it 3 or 4 times. It's like, why isn't she listening? Is she being defiant?
Right.
I'm like, she's 17 months old.
Right, like she don't baby even going know. Baby for
they
real.
They don't know what they doing. So, you know, yeah, from my perspective, it's just crazy too.
Yeah, man. Because we looking at it from you sitting in the high chair and you standing up. God forbid you fall.
Yeah, man.
Good grief. Like, we ain't even... We definitely knocking on whatever. Wood, granite, whatever. We definitely praying that no kid ever fall off the high chair or any type of thing that got some height to it. You know what I mean? But, yeah, man. It's just one of them things where... Like, that's why it's just a work in progress. Because, like, deep down, we really ain't experienced shit yet at all. Neither one of us.
Nah.
I mean, yeah, I got one that's 10, but I mean, you know, she's still in the, she's just getting into watching Netflix that's not the cartoon and shit. You know what I mean?
That's big.
You know what I mean? So it's like...
They got a setting for that? I hope they got a setting.
I mean, yeah, they do. You know what I mean? But it's just like...
Parental controls.
Yeah, yeah, all that. You know what I mean? And that's another topic. That's another thing. Like, so my wife coming at me with the whole, like, I think Morgan need a phone and shit, right? So I'm like...
At 10?
At 10. That's my first thing that came to my mouth. At 10, my nigga? Like, what the fuck? What is you talking about? 10. Like, what type of fast-ass shit is that? Fifth grade, because
it's like fifth grade, but then you like, wait, you ain't even in middle school yet.
Like, right, so, but I mean, my wife tried to bring the points out, and I, you know, she has her way of thinking, I have mine, because I just come from a different...
Wait, but why, I guess, let me back up, what were the reasons, Morgan? Give me 3 reasons.
Well, she just got accepted into the... concert choir of Maryland.
Okay, congratulations.
You know what I'm saying? She working on being a part of the... there's some other programs at school that... at the school programs, and we got some other at the school activities outside of school. So I guess she just wants to be able to be in contact with her at all times. Because the era that we grew up in...
Parental.
The era that we grew up in to now... We more parental than ever. So, yeah, you know, a lot of people call us helicopter moms or lawnmower dads and all that shit. But these niggas is sick out here, shorty.
They are, man.
So it's like we at the point now where it's like, yo, we gonna do whatever. So if that mean that, I'm still on the fence about it. Because, like, I mean, like, for me, I ain't get my first phone. I'm a late bloomer and everything. I ain't get my first phone until I was, like, 17.
You had a pager though or something.
I ain't had shit.
Nothing? Oh, man.
I ain't had shit. My mother ain't feel it. My mother looked at me like, what you need a pager at 13 for?
I got that same, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, questioning, you know, it, I gave the answer if somebody looking for me.
Right.
I'm always looking for me.
Right. Somebody page looking for me. My mother like, nigga, you need to hear, if you hear my voice, I don't care if you on the other side of town. You hear me yelling, you bring your ass back.
Good old mama.
Yeah, man. So I remember the reason I got the phone because I had a job. My father was supposed to pick me up at 8. Guess he thought 8 Pacific time because that nigga ain't coming to 11.
Jesus.
So I said, God damn. So my mother like, no, don't set my baby up like that. So that, but you know what I mean? So I'm still on the fence with it, you know what I mean? Especially with, you know, Morgan still at, she's still at the age where.
It's early.
It's early, but then just being responsible.
Yeah, it's really early.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because, you know, you, you know, she might have a little purse on. She'll put it down and be like, yo, where's it at? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or, you know, she got to get her hair done. And you, but you can't find your scarf or bonnet, but you want me to hand you a phone? Like, fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? I see where my wife coming from, so it's not a a definite no, but I think Morgan need more time. So, I mean, it's gonna be a tough one.
I could wait on those issues.
Yeah, that's what I, so I'd rather you learn from me.
I got time.
And we gonna pass it on down to you when the time comes and shit. You know what I mean? But like we were just saying, being lawnmower dad, so we're going that extra mile to protect our kids because let's face it, the way we came up is not
it's completely different, man.
Not the way these kids is coming
completely
up.
Completely different. Well, I mean, times have changed.
Everything.
So I look, I appreciate it because I feel like we had it too loose going out.
Like now when you think about that shit, when your mother tell you go outside,
like, yo, don't come back inside till the street light come on. Like,
are you? It's 10 a.m.
You know when shit happened by when the street light come on?
I'm like, it's 10 a.m. Why you want me out till 8?
I ain't never understand.
I never understood that.
Never understood.
You know what I'm saying? So I like, yo, shout out to all the parents of 80s babies. Like, y'all faith in the Lord was at an all-time high.
Yeah.
For y'all to be doing that type of shit.
And communities was better. At the end of the day, you knew all your neighbors on the same side.
Yeah, yeah. We had a lot. We got a lot of outside factors that just ravished.
Ravaged
these neighborhoods. You know what I mean? No. And that shit is wild. Yeah. But that's why I'm saying, like, now, you know, they're giving us these terms of the helicopter mom and dad and all that shit and the lawnmower. But I feel like we got to be that way now.
Yeah. I seen a post today on Facebook. This good friend of ours that we know, he's like, yo, I know I'm not the only parent that watches their kid outside when they play. And I'm like, bruh, mine ain't even outside, but I'm watching all the time.
Yeah, you watching what? Like, yo, these people not. And then when you see the shows, like, there's a couple of them Netflix joints. What the where they was getting, the kids was almost getting kidnapped and the parents are sitting right there because they want their phone and all that shit. Like, yo,
that don't make no sense.
It don't make no sense at all, but that shit happened on a daily basis, dog. So I mean, that's why as far as we gotta go that extra mile, but how extra are you willing to go though? Listen, is the question.
You know, and that could segue us into that last topic, man. Like,
yeah,
you know, protecting the family. Like, I'm going to protect the family at all costs.
All costs, it's, brother. All of it.
Like, if I got to take on the financial burden, like, I'm going to find a way to make it happen. You have to. You know, when it comes to bearing a little bit more for the family or bringing the family together. And, you know, one of the biggest things is I'm always like, let's go to church. And then, you know, things come up, which is reality for us.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, man, things come up. But, I mean, you know, if you're not going to church every week, is not a necessarily...
It's not
like,
a burden on your life.
It's not a burden because church is wherever you and God are at, in my perspective. Now church is definitely, you know, where you can get your spiritual vitamin for the week.
Yeah. Spiritual play.
You know what I mean? It is important, but if you're not going, if you didn't go every week, like, I ain't the type to look down on you. And if I'm looking down at you, that's only because I'm helping you up to begin with. So,
I don't even,
I'd be bedside batters like the rest of these niggas out here.
We all been there before.
All of them been there before. Like, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, like,
Saturday,
when you.
On
but right, like you said, on the financial burden part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel. Like, does that take a toll on you physically, mentally, and spiritually? Like, how does it take a toll on you? Like, when you say, because you're willing to take the financial burden, which any father should do, but coming from you, because now that you're a father and a husband, is it a double bang when it comes to that? You know what I'm saying? Because your wife is, she makes her bread too. She work and everything like that. But if something go wrong, it's on you. Now, how do you feel? Like, do you think that's just a part of the game? Or that's just, like, that's a part of your assignment that you signed up for when your wife decided to choose you and procreate with you? Like, how you respond to shit like that?
So let me say this first. Have that conversation, too, before you get married.
First and foremost, when you get married. It'll affect the communication, man.
Because that's going to be a serious thing that comes up. So definitely, I feel like, have a supportive woman in the sense of that, too. So, for instance, like, if the man can't take the burden but wants to and still has to do things, as long as he has a strong woman behind him, he should be completely fine. On the aspect of answering the question, though, definitely got to get to it. You got to find a way.
Gotcha.
No matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
Yeah.
Like, you got to pick up extra jobs. You need to do some odd jobs. You need to figure out something.
Yeah, man.
You gotta do it.
Yeah, you know,
what would you situation came to you, what you wouldn't
have? Man, I've been in a situation quite a few times. I reacted differently each
probably
time.
Every time. And it was probably a different reaction.
It was like my first, but like you said, strong woman definitely is essential in this fatherhood game. You know, we see a lot of stories of where shit go left. Like, you know, shorty was looking good, but you saw red flags that you shouldn't have done that, but you did it. You know what I mean? Pull out game, be whack. Whatever happened, she could have hit you with the I'm fixed bullshit, but whatever.
Not I'm fixed.
But the case doesn't matter, whatever the shit is, you got this kid on the way, but she does not fit the requirements. Of being the mother. Now the physical part, the intimate part, that's the easy shit. The practicing of it, she fit everything that she was looking for. But
I always wanted to know how dudes think looking at a chick be like she mom material.
I have no idea. That's what I'm saying. So like, so when they going in raw off the break, I'm like, what the fuck is you thinking? You know what I mean? But that shit is nutty as hell. But I've been through that a few times. I remember when Morgan was born, so I was about 25, and my lady was living with her mom, I was living with my mom, and it wasn't an ideal situation. Of course, my ideal situation, we'd have been either married first or at least living together, this, that, and the fourth. Things happen, that's what it is, but I'm a man of my word, and I'm gonna take care of my responsibility. So,
do what you
gotta do. What you gotta do, right? So, and I come from the background of, I had my dad, all my grandfather was there, all my cousins who had kids, they was there full time. So it was nothing for me to be full time, but the living space didn't allow that, right? So I will stay. I'll never forget it, because this is a lesson my dad told me. He said, "Son, you need to be the ultimate disciplinarian when it comes to your kids. Please do not let these police out here. These people with these wild thoughts of, like, these George Zimmermans of the world and all these motherfuckers that be fake tough, but since they got the gun in their hand, they got a little juice, little extra juice in their cup and shit. You know what I mean? But you be the ultimate disciplinarian, so they know how to handle themselves
outside of the house. Yeah, it is.
So you need to be there at all times. So your daughter's first line of defense is you. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be her grandmother. It's not going to be her other grandmother, nobody. Your first line of defense has to be you. So I took it upon myself, even if I had to live out of a tote, I was at my girl's house. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what I had to do. I mean, it wasn't an ideal situation, but, you know, with my girl coming from a single parent household, it was nothing for her mother to take both roles. But since I'm here, she looking at me like, what's the difference between you and her father? You know what I'm saying? You might do the same dumb shit, so therefore I'm a double dip the chip to try to. But in her way, it was like, you trying to eliminate me. That's not gonna happen. So we just gonna have to battle this out. I mean, I'm gonna be respectful to you, but we gonna battle this shit out. So, you know what I mean? Living out of a tote or whatever. Because, I mean, we both grown, both had college degrees and nothing. It wasn't like we were 16 or nothing. But, you know, I remember staying living out of a tote, out of their house or whatever. I had it always, and I saved up a couple of dollars, so every time they needed something, it was no big deal.
That's love.
But I remember my wife was saying she felt like I was getting comfortable at the job that I was working at the time. Mm. And she was like, well, you an engineer, but you working with kids and adults with autism. Like, that don't even sound right. That's an oxymoron, for real. But I get, passion, but I get, but I get where you're coming from, because you're not letting your job title supersede your earth title. Yeah, your job title is an engineer, right. But your earth title is to be a servant to a higher power. So if you are helping on somebody that's less fortunate, whether it's physical, mental, or spiritual, then God's still gonna have you covered throughout all that.
Yeah.
But right now, while you're doing that, can you at least consider going back to school? You know what I'm saying? So she put the bug in my ear to go back to school, get my master's.
How long has that bug been put in your ear?
Well, the mortgage came out in 2009, May. So I might have started January.
So like next semester.
That next semester, I was back in school.
You was back in
school. I was back in school. So yeah, December, they started with a winter semester, so I started right after that. And we got back into school, and now, you know what I mean, it got me to where I'm at today. But she had to she put the bug in the air, like, yeah, you are providing, but you could do more. I see more in you, so therefore, do it.
Make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, you gotta make it happen. So, yeah. I mean, I did that, but then I remember another time, I was laid off 2 times in 3 years. The first time the company went under. The second time they wasn't going under, but they were making cuts.
Budget cuts.
People had to go. So I was one of the last people in there. I was first one to go. So I mean, and I went through a bout of, nah, man, fuck that. I got my master's in engineering. I'm not doing this odd ass job. Fuck all that. Like, no. Nah. I need that straight bread off the rip. Like, you know what I'm saying? Niggas is getting big. You talking about you want a house and shit. Matter of fact, I had the house. Just moved in the house. That was April 2014. Probably got laid off in August out that bitch. Mad as a motherfucker. Because I remember I was working from home. I'm getting busy. The manager called me like, yo, you don't even need to do no work no more. And I remember calling my homegirl. Well, my big sis, I ain't gonna say homegirl, but the big sis, and she didn't answer the phone, so I'm blowing her shit up. And then she called me and was just like, yeah, we just had a team meeting, we heard. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? I linked on her, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and I felt bad because she ain't deserve it, but at the same time, like, yo, if you cool with the mans, why the fuck you ain't say nothing to me? But she was like, shit, I ain't even know whether to believe it or not, because motherfuckers was just lying. You know what I'm saying? Because it put me in the place of, like, y'all niggas played me. So now I don't trust nobody. So fuck all y'all. Fuck what you saying. Like, nah. So the next job, I need that straight cash, homie. I ain't with all that that bullshit. And it got to the point where, it got tough in the marriage, man. It wasn't until, the sheriff came to the door talking about we about to repo the car and all that shit. And I was like, shit. So, my wife, she looking at me like, you supposed to provide and protect, nigga. Like, you not doing what you supposed to be doing. I expected more out of you. Like, yo, you need to fix this shit. It wasn't even the look. Like, she ain't talked to me for a day. We driving to church or whatever, so I'm like, you
good Sunday,
driving to church. I'm waiting to get that spiritual vitamin to push me over the edge, because right now I'm thinking about doing some illegal shit at this point. Like, nigga need bread. Fuck out of here. And you know what I'm saying? And she just fucking linked on me, like fucking went ham. I thought you was going to provide and protect you. You know what I mean? You're not doing what you supposed to be doing as a man. What the fuck? This, that, and the fourth. And my response, I wasn't even listening to her. It was just more like, why the fuck you wait till we got on the way to church for that shit? Like, you should have told me that yesterday. Messed the whole vibe driving to church. Yeah, the gospel music playing and all that shit. I'm like, man, So I'm yelling at her because she her tone was so aggressive that I had to match it, but I wasn't even listening to what she was saying.
Y'all in the car. Kids in the car.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Fuck it.
It's on front stage.
Fuck it. Like, you know what I mean? And action, let's go. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, damn, what the fuck? And
a whole day and a mess of my Sunday.
And you messed me up on Sunday with it. And I was just like, you know what? We lean on each other, whatever. We get to church. I ain't say shit to nobody. She ain't say, well, she, you know, she better at putting on
the social face.
I was looking like the angry man from Martin and shit. So, you know what I mean? I just went with the shit. And, you know, everybody going to Keanu, like, what's wrong with Sonny, this, that, and the fourth. I mean, of course, she ain't blast us or nothing. But, you know what I mean? It was just one of them things. Like, you put me in that mood.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you mad because I'm still in that mood. Like, you could have told me that shit yesterday. God damn.
It's a whole nother topic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we got more episodes coming. So, that's definitely going to be talked about. So, yeah. We definitely sidebar on that one.
Stick to it.
But, yeah, she, you know, but it wasn't until that. And you know what? I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I had a couple other people in my ear. So it was like, well, maybe she on to something. You know what I mean? Maybe because it came from her that it wasn't, I wasn't receiving it because it came off like she was nagging type of thing. When in fact, she was just dropping gems. But I didn't want to receive that because I wasn't trying to take the odd job. I'm the master of the engineer shit, but this is how wild this shit was. So I took the job at Amazon. I remember getting the job on the spot. I was, even though I was night shift or whatever, making about 14 an hour and shit. And I remember going there and I had a suit on for an interview. They was like, yo, we ain't even going to interview. Just sign the paper, take this piss test. You start tomorrow.
Wow.
So I was like, why you doing all that? He was like, you coming to interview working at a warehouse with a suit on?
Bro, you got the job.
You got it. So I do that for about a month.
That's crazy.
I did it for like a month and then like a job
overnight
that I...
Overnight joint?
Yeah, overnight.
Dang.
You know, I'm like, you know what I mean? And I remember I got a call from a job I applied for a year and a half ago. And they asked me if I was interested. I was like, yeah. So I'm back on at the engineering gig, but I don't know if I would have got that if I ain't go through the Amazon shit. I felt like
You had to go through that. I
had to get humbled.
Get humble real quick.
I got humbled real quick, you know what I'm saying? But throughout all of that, the worst that even we got the notices of the repo, but I had enough money to fix that. They tried to put us in the foreclosure program of the house. I got out of that. So the worst thing that happened was, you know, we lost cable for a couple days and shit. That's right. You know what I'm saying? But you know,
five stick jailbreak.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You know, it was nothing. But I had to go through that. I had to be humbled by that. Like, so a lot of time. So that's why, like I said again, the name of this is a fatherhood project because we are work in progress.
Straight progress.
When it comes to this fatherhood shit, because a lot of being a father is you being humbled. A lot of times you're going to get humbled by whether it's significant other, your kids, your higher power. You know, you're going to be humbled. People at work. Your own family. So, in your experience, right, whether it's job or family related now, we could talk about from the job perspective, right? Because the job is how we provide the home, the food, the basic needs through the job. How far is it when it comes to you and the job where it's just like, yo, I'm going to stick with this job because it's comfortable? Or do you jump out on faith when you feel like you being disrespected? Like, how do you, like, as a father, because you see what you got here.
Yeah.
Nice crib. Yeah, you taking nice trips. You got us a... Nigga, you ain't lying. You got a supportive wife throughout all of it.
Yep.
But do you ever feel like... not falling short, but do you ever feel like your job taking you for granted? to the point where you are now between a rock and a hard place because you don't want to ruffle feathers because you got the job to provide, but at the same time, you ain't gonna disrespect me though either.
Yeah, yo, that's tough. It's like, you got to make sure you have or find that balance, and you got to make that balance work for you.
That's a major key right there, balance.
It's so many different stories. Like, I hear friends growing up, like, oh, my dad works all the time. So, you know, and I'm hearing it at my house where it was like, my dad balanced it. He gave us time, but he also worked. And it's like, damn, you don't ever see your pops. Not really. Like, sometimes right, my dad come in and out. You think about that shit, and you're like, yeah. Oh, shit, he providing, right? He ain't present, per se, in the visual form.
I'm going to speak on that when you finish, though.
He definitely is providing so that maybe she can go to a good school. Like, however you want to make it look. For me, I had to find the balance. I had to. Like, it's tough. You know, especially when you single, get into a relationship, then marriage. It's like, yo, everything changes.
Oh, the whole game.
So you got to make sure that, you know, you find it. Like, some days, work can call more. But going back to, like we said earlier, communicate. Tell your spouse, like, hey, look, I'm going to be stuck at work a little longer. I'm going to need this time this week. But at the same time, don't give too much time to one, because then it will drain you from the other. The flip side of it is you pour into your family so much that if your job, your primary job, is going to be the thing that funds where you're at and the things you do, man, listen, you can get messed up. They can hit you with that pain slip at work, like... There you go, yo.
Yo, and that's the thing. That's the thing that I had to learn the hard way through third party. Like, my dad is a prime example of that shit that you talking about. Like, yo, he used to work sometimes
crazy out
7 a.m. to 11 p.m. He would do that 6 nights a week, right? Damn. So,
6 nights a week.
So you looking at 96 hours. Now, mind you,
Friday. I mean, he ain't worked the week.
He ain't worked Sunday, but he did Saturday, though.
Oh, man.
So you looking at 96 hours. There's only 168 in the week. So in my prime time in high school,
you man, you see the man.
I didn't see him, especially I was playing football, and that was a big deal for him because I tried to play rec ball. They said I was too big and shit. Insurance and all that other bullshit. But for me to play high school ball, like, he played high school ball, and he ain't come to none of my games and shit. But you bragging to everybody how
you the dopest.
I'm the next prospect, but you ain't even checking me out for real because you at fucking work all the time. So the balance just wasn't there, and it grew resentment toward him. Like, I looked at it, you know, my mother always tried to say he providing this, that, and the fourth, but it was no balance behind it. So it didn't rear its ugly head until, you know, my sister started doing shit and he was making a way to come to her shit. But since he didn't come to mine, so I felt I felt all types of ways about it, but I was taught, you know, channel it through something else. Being, you can't be vulnerable. You can't talk about the shit. You gotta suck that shit up. You know, go to the weight room. Go write something. Go do something. Like, but, you know, you can't channel that shit. So it all rears ugly head. I was about 19 years old. And summertime. And at that time, yo, I was, shit, I was getting high. I mean, weed, of course. Drinking, smoking. I was trying to be on some Will Chamberlain shit with the women or whatever. So, you know, I'm like, shit. But at the same time, my mom's was just diagnosed with breast cancer at that time too, right? Life. So it was a wild, it was like life was coming at me so many different directions. So I was finding outlets. They was just the wrong ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was leaving out the house. My father told me, you're not going nowhere. Like, nigga, I'm a grown man. What you mean? I ain't going nowhere. And you know what I mean? So, me being me at that age, I was just kind of like, so me and him, I looked at him. Like, that day, I stopped fearing my father. I respected him. I just ain't fear him. So, when he coming at me all crazy with the aggressive tone, normally I acquiesce, but now I'm like, fuck it, man. We can, hey, look, you like one of the niggas in the street now. Yeah, man. So, man, we get to talking shit, and he was like, boy, I'll fuck you up, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, look. You just gonna have to do that shit, cause
I'm a man now.
Cause I'm a man now. I'm a grown ass man now. Now, mind you, my mother upstairs, she trying to sleep. She just came. I remember she just finished doing the chemo session, so she worn out. And yeah. Yo, we got to brawling. Straight up.
I can't believe y'all was trying to kill your mother.
Right, she's trying. We just got to brawling and shit. You know what I'm saying? And I will never forget. I never forget this how strong. If throughout all this fatherhood shit that we talk about,
yep.
The one thing that we always talked about so far, we've already mentioned at least three times, strong woman is essential. So my mother, I never forget it. She came downstairs.
Essential like water.
She came downstairs and she said, y'all can't be fucking serious right now. My mother don't really curse, right? So she said, y'all can't be fucking serious right now.
She was right, though.
With all the life that's going on, y'all both acting like some assholes. Now I'm gonna go downstairs and get the box. You know what I'm saying? Y'all better figure this shit out. Now in my home, the box was where we kept the burner.
Oh,
so my mother like, yo, y'all gonna dead this shit right now, okay? You know what I'm saying? And it was wild because as masculine. And as much testosterone was going on between my father and myself.
She came and just Nino, fuck the fucking Nino.
Yeah, she basically was like, yo, if y'all sit y'all $5 asses down,
I'm gonna make change.
I'm gonna make some chains out you whores. Wow, cause wash the laundry with it. The fuck?
Damn.
But no, but that changed a lot. But in an unorthodox way, that taught me the same thing that you just said. It had to be balanced. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, but I mean, now you brought up an interesting question. We're going to end it off with this question here,
bet,
right?
Bet.
You had a conversation with your wife.
Yeah.
And what was the question that she asked you?
So it was more so, it was, do you think you're better husband or better father?
Ow.
And I was like,
can't you be both?
In my head, that's how I wanted to answer.
Right, okay.
But the reality of it is it's a daily struggle. Not a struggle, more so a daily choice.
Yeah.
So some days you give more love and to the kids, and other days you give more love to your wife. But then there are times when you fall into the Instagram hole of who you give your love to, right?
Yeah.
So, me.
Yo, before you answer that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you take that as a shot when she said that?
Initially,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie.
But by you saying that, Keanu would have asked me that shit. I probably would have started an argument. I'd have took that as a shot. But see,
I had to pause and think because I said to myself, like, wait, hold on now. Like, you trying to play me right now? But then it was like, no. You really asking me a serious question. And I was like, okay, cool. I already knew right then and there what it was. And I was just like, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out on a limb. Because I wasn't going to say both because I know where that would have went.
Right.
I definitely said, I'm definitely more better of a husband. And it was like, no, you're better with the kids. And it was like, oh, I knew that, kind of.
I mean, like you said, it's a roller coaster ride. Yeah, it's like the stock market of life, because you're
the Dow Jones.
The Dow Jones of parenthood was asked in that one question, because without you being a husband, the kids ain't here. You know what I'm saying? The kids is what motivates you to do what you're doing.
True. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As a father and provide a protector for your wife as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
full circle right there.
It's a full circle. So it's like sometimes it go hand in hand, because a lot of decisions that you use as a husband will impact father type things. Like think about, okay, so if you being a husband but you had an affair,
that changes.
That changes the game as father, as your fatherhood, because now.
So your fatherhood is what, stricken? Like you got to remove points now?
I don't know. I don't know what if you lose. I don't know if you lose points, but
because in the fatherhood category, you still should be there.
Right.
Technically, right. You can't be in a sense.
Right, but then, but like I was saying, but if you had an affair and get caught, and your wife leave. Now you might only see your kids half the time. You might only see them supervised.
So your fatherhood points gotta be
your father. Cut.
Your rating gotta go down. Fatherhood rating.
So dude. Your fatherhood credit score definitely drops a couple hundred points if you do that. But I mean, but at the same time, being a father,
the only way you get that back is with your kids.
Exactly. So it's kind of like you being a father and a husband at the same time go hand in hand to the point where. One mistake on either side
could fuck it up.
Cause you, let's say for example, you discipline one of your kids too hard.
Yeah.
Or let's say, you know what I'm saying, since you got a son or whatever, let's say he gets at that age where he back talk to you, and you just hit him with the mean Tyson 80s uppercut.
Joe's gonna wanna box it out with you.
I think I might have to fuck up both of my kids. I think we gonna have to box it out, but
I
that's
already
more,
know Reed gonna do it, so I think. I think
but that's more of a like a bonding experience. Not the knockout part, but just the fact of learning how to defend yourself.
Yeah.
But you doing that might cause a rift between you and your wife.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's a thin line.
It's topics within topics in these shows. Missing it. We're just dropping jewels for later.
Yeah, man. Like, we definitely... Yo, this is definitely something that I definitely feel like this is...
We got something here.
We got something here. So, I don't know. If y'all wanna chime in on that question as far as fatherhood and if are you a better father or husband type of thing, yo, let me know. Let us know how y'all feel about that. We ain't gonna talk our head off the whole day, but since me and him got such a bond, we could do this shit all fucking day. You lucky we ain't had the drinks with us.
Luckily, this
next episode,
they coming back.
It's coming back. We coming back.
We
yo,
ain't drink champions, but we definitely
no. We ain't nice. Drink. We de- we buy
some nice drink.
But a nice shot. You know what I'm saying? Because we both heavy handed when we pulling up.
Yeah,
we could definitely get busy, but either way, I just want to, like I said, thank Calvet for sharing this vision with me to even include me on this. This is just one of many, you know what I mean? So, yeah, like they say,
more to come.
So this episode, we're gonna have more episodes coming. So of course, we're gonna get better as each time go on. But either way, just want to say thank you for listening to us.
Peace. We appreciate it.
Let us know how you feel about it. Sonny Brasco, we out of here.
Junior's out the door too. Holla at you.
Game, set, match, baby.